Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
April 21, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because if you weren't looking for it, you would not hear me saying what I'm saying. Anyway, welcome to Friars Day, Friday, the last official broadcast day of the week for the O'Chelly Effect Radio Network. Indeed, we have had a bunch of miscues and non-broadcasts this week, and a lot of them had to do with me and what was going on with me. Chris Graves, I know, got out a couple, and of course, just one podcast from Chris Graves is equal to three of somebody else's anyway. Also, I started out the week broadcasting on a Monday. We did talk to David Knight, as promised. I had larger, well, not necessarily larger as compared to David Knight guests, but I had some more interesting, significantly rare guests planned for Monday, and they did not come through. One of them, a JFK witness, who was a witness to the life and times of Lee Harvey Oswald, that I thought I had on lockdown. I was ready to go. Phone number was supposed to be given to me just before the show, and it didn't happen. So I went live at 7 p.m. Eastern with that David Knight show, and I got an hour with the David Knight. Anyhow, there was another planned guest that night, which also canceled, but that was a straight cancellation. Anyway, who cares about all that? You got some stuff out of the network this week and more to come. We also have one archive show, which I have not put out yet, but is coming up very soon. And so there you have it. We also had Chris Graves earlier today speaking with the guy who was a part of the Free Mind Films and put out A Noble Lie, which is about Oklahoma City, the bombing there, and all of the, well, chicanery that had to be had regarding the official story. But I'll put that out tomorrow, just like I'll do this show. Anyway, now that I've gotten all those announcements out of the way, and we are not adding a new show this week to the network, although I am on the lookout for one brand new show, at least, to add to the lineup, here we are. Also, I sat down with the guy from Infinite Fringe, Billy Ray Valentine, and I don't know if he's put it out yet, but I do have a recording of the audio on that as well. So, by the by, we are putting up new material on Rockfin and the other video channels as well. The David Knight interview went up on Rockfin before it went out on the network. I was actually holding back the audio for that purpose. Anyway, who is with me tonight? Automatically, B. Pete, my co-host for Friday nights. Happy to have him along. And he's definitely going to have to take over part of the show because I didn't get a chance to eat before the show. So I'm going to cram in a little something during one of these segments for sure. And I do mean into my mouth. I'm going to eat something during the show. And we're going to promptly end about 10 after 10 Eastern time. If you're listening live, if you're hearing the podcast, you don't care. Shaping up some things for Dallas, getting things in order. A lot of things are going on, and I didn't even talk about the news yet. But you might want to. B. Pete is with me, like I said. We already have Captain Trips joining us via the Skype, so there is that. And you could do that by reaching out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. I'll be more than happy to add you to the show. We're not going with any sort of hard template tonight for the show. We're just going to go with the flow, basically. But next week we're going to return to the format where B. Pete and I split the first part of the show and then add discussions. And by the way, that means you can be part of it by just using your phone. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. By all means, feel free to call in and speak about whatever you want. And at some point, I'm not going to be as anxious to jump in because, as I said, I'm going to eat during the show. So about 10 minutes there, I'll probably not be able to speak. And there it is. Anyways, yeah. So here we are, 319-527-5016. That is the number to call in and join us. So before we get to the caller on the Skype, I got to ask my co-host, how you doing tonight, BP?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm still suffering from this pollen attack. It's switched from trees to grass now, so. Well, it's a little more exciting. It brings a different color to your sneezes.
Ah, okay. I thought you were going to start talking about, sputum and stuff from there, because it can start to change, color of your mucus, can it?
I really don't look. When I get rid of mucus, I really don't hang around to see what color it is.
Ah, well, fair enough. Hey, it is what it is, and we're not doing a mucus report tonight. So, I'm dealing with that kind of crap, a few other things myself. Not going to get into detail, but it's always good when you get some minor improvements when you've been struggling with something for the week. Got to tell you, it's a lot of fun to replace a 2000 Saturn one part at a time on a car. Because let's replace the whole car, but do it one part at a time. That appears to be the process I'm involved with there. Wish I could replace the part of me that gets the mucus going. But again, I don't want to linger on mucus. There's a phrase for you. Linger on mucus. Almost a t-shirt. Oh, by the way, before we're done, I'll give you an update on the hats. But anyway, aside from battles with allergies, anything else to report personally? Or should we get into news? Or should we turn right to Captain Trips? You tell me, brother.
Well, work is getting increasingly busier as we get into summer and the hours get longer each day, and they're in a rush. I think they're behind time, so they're starting to push things to the limit. So other than that, we're going to try to get all of our yard work caught up this weekend, so it's going to be a very productive weekend. It'll be the first one I haven't had work in quite a while, so I'm going to take advantage of it. Get outside, get some fresh air, all that good crap. News-wise, I've not paid attention to the news much this week, although I did hear where the 50 Intel specialist letters that were out about Hunter Biden's laptop and where they originated from. A few more other things. They're still going through SRAs on the Biden accounts. They're up to 9 Bidens that have been receiving money from foreign entities. So hopefully next week when we get back into our regular new format, we can get into that and hopefully have some dollar figures.
Well, we'll have that, and we'll also have the contrast of whatever the hell becomes of the subpoenas now flying back and forth regarding Trump's case in New York, too, right? Because Jordan is trying to get the DA to show up. He's fighting the subpoena in court. Which is a little different than just saying, screw it, I ain't going, when other people have been subpoenaed in this back and forth flurry over nothing, but yeah.
Don't know how much longer that's going to go on, because the judge immediately threw out Bragg's court case, and so Bragg appealed it, so that should get heard very soon and put that to an end. But seems like the House of Representatives have a little more pull than a DA in New York.
Well, maybe not.
Apparently, Judge slapped Bragg pretty hard when he shut it down. He basically said this is ridiculous and tossed it. But Bragg did get a chance to appeal, so we'll see how that comes out. Probably in a week, we'll know something about that. His loss against Trump. Apparently, they're going to get back together or something next week. I don't know. They set out a hearing date for December, but I think lawyer is filing several motions that will probably come up well before then, and possibly we might see this thing tossed. If not, then I guess December is when we'll pick it back up again. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it'll be delay tactics to push it past a selection time, because they're going to say, hey, now we're coming up on the election, you can't do this. Which is funny, because that's sort of selective in the way people handle it. Some stuff has to be gotten to before the selection, some stuff doesn't, and everybody plays different games, whether it's Jim Comey or it's a DA from New York. Kind of irrelevant. These guys just, it's a little unpredictable, so that's interesting. But it brings to mind another case that got tossed, looks like, or is in the process of getting tossed. Alec Baldwin, maybe not so guilty for the whole shooting somebody on the set.
Yeah. I was when I read that yesterday, I thought, what in the hell are they talking about? Charges dropped. And I went and read it, and supposedly the weapon in question was sent to somebody to rework the hammer or something. And now they're saying it's defective. And I'm thinking, you know, that's funny considering that they've had the weapon for quite some time and checked it. I don't understand how suddenly, oh, it was handled beforehand and worked on by somebody. You know, the authorities checked that gun. I don't understand the charges being dropped, but I did determine that it is safer to go hunting with Dick Cheney than it is to work with Alec Baldwin.
Well, maybe, maybe not. It depends on who prepares the weapon, because according to what I understand is that, you know, his original assertion, which made sense to me, is that somebody else has to set that up for him to handle it on screen. And there would be the person responsible for not setting it up properly, right? Okay, and, you know.
No, he was given a cold gun, which means it didn't have any ammo, and it's still his responsibility to check it.
Maybe so, but, you know, the thing is, again, it's a whole big mess, and at the end of the day, what happens? Exactly what I predicted would happen, and by the way, I think that's what's going to happen in this other case. No matter how much people are rubbing their hands together looking for somebody who is in a privileged position to get punished, guess what? Don't. It's a waste of time. Baldwin, just based on privilege, not going to be punished. Whether he's responsible or he knowingly did something or didn't, it's irrelevant. He's not going to get punished. Somebody put that out there for headlines. The whole thing with Trump, whether you think he should be, blah, 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 whatever, fraud, it's irrelevant. This guy's not going to get, come on. This is dog and pony, and you know what? You don't even have a good dog here. And somebody, you know, has a pony costume on. It's not even a real good pony. I'm just saying. Anyway, look, leave it all alone because it's all up in the air the way I see it. But we could get to a whole lot of other things. And like I said, guys, join us. I'm going to be eating a little bit. So that's going to happen. I'm going to bring in yet another Skype caller. So tell you what, BP, why don't you begin and speak with our current Skype caller? And I'll try and add the other one while I have something to eat. Sound like a deal?
Sure. Captain Trips, good to have you with us. How have things been going your way?
Oh, not bad, not bad. It's been busy, but I think I'm far enough away from some of the madness. You know, I'm living here where, you know, what everyone thinks is the wasteland of the country, but quite frankly, I kind of enjoy it. things are going well here in the Sunshine Republic.
Well, yeah, we've been, I tell you what, this weather, I think we're going full into summer because we hit 90 degrees and this is just, you know, April. Mm. So we're going to get an early summer out of it this year. Hopefully it won't be a dry one like last year. My job will be a lot easier. Mm. But weather's been good. We've had some rain, some serious thunderstorms. It's getting to be that time. When it gets that hot, it gets chilling out there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen anything in the news in the last week or anything recently that comes to mind you want to kick off?
Well, I mean, I find it very interesting that we, and here in 2023, we have a Kennedy member, a Kennedy family member who is throwing his hat into the ring for the presidency. I find that to be rather interesting.
Do you think he's been wanting to do this for a while but was just waiting to find a Democrat he could run against and do well?
I don't, but I don't know him well enough. I mean, I remember him back in the early 2000s was more just the environmental kind of anti-corporate stuff that he was doing. And then it wasn't until the last 3 years where I started paying a little more attention to what he was saying. I mean, to me, it sounds like he's coming at this from, I mean, he's coming at this from the old school Democratic Party of his father and his uncle. Sadly, I don't know that that Democratic Party exists anymore. So I don't know.
They've changed enough over the years that you wonder if he's too regressive and not progressive enough.
Yeah, I honestly think now he would probably, aside from some of his stuff, and I don't even know where he stands on the environmental stuff anymore, to be quite honest with you, other than, you know, he's talked about, you know, pollution and those sorts of things, but as far as the whole climate change you know, climate change agenda type deal. I don't know where he's at. I mean, he's made some comments about, you know, about the geopolitical position that the United States is taking, and you know, he's really one of the first people to get up and say something about that. I know DeSantis is kind of sort of tinkered around the edges of talking about that, but you know, I mean, as someone here in Florida who I voted for DeSantis and I like how he's been running the state, to be quite honest with you, for the most part, but I have some questions about him when it comes to foreign policy and you know, would he fall in with the neocons, and that truly does worry me about whether, you know, whether to even support him if he got the nomination.
See, curious thing about that DeSantis, Theo, I know that some people are very pleased with the direction that he's taken, but quite frankly, I don't think it's any different than it was in Florida, because it's still an open-air insane asylum as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the crazy gator stories and the most crazy things you could possibly think of, those things didn't slow down coming out of Florida.
We still have your occasional story, you know, woman wakes up to alligator in bed with her.
Look, occasional, if that's what helps you sleep at night, that's cool. But I'm just saying, look, Florida's messed up. I mean, it just is. And I love you guys, but it is a nut house. I mean, it just is.
But the thing I've learned about Florida, probably very similar to California, is that even though we're, you know, we all are one big state, it's very regional here. Mm-hmm. And where I'm at, and I think probably the panhandle, and then when you get into like the Gainesville, Ocala, that central part of Florida, very different than the South Florida. The, you know, I was just in Tampa for a few days, mm-hmm. and it's a completely different state than it is where I'm at in the northeast part of the state. So, right. You know, I think just like everything else, they, you know, you hear out of Florida, but if you look a little deeper, it's certain regions of the state. The alligators. The crazy alligator stories, we have those everywhere.
Yeah, but no, I'm not. I'm more worried about the people than I am the alligators, actually, because you know how to avoid the alligators. People are a little more crafty with being able to get close to you. Okay, so just really quickly, BP, want to make you aware, Chris Graves has also joined us on the Skype, and we do have a caller. Now, I'm going to step away from the microphone for a few minutes, but continue your conversation with Captain Trips. Go ahead and address Mr. Graves, and then, excuse me, I'll come back around the time that we bring in the caller, okay?
All right, sounds good. How long have you been down there now, Captain?
Oh, it'll be a year. It'll be a year and 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, it'll be a year.
Okay, because I was thinking it was just at a year or maybe over since you went down there.
Yep, early May of 2022, and you know, for all the stuff that's been said, that's all the stuff that's always said about Florida, I find it to be a completely different than people think.
To be honest with you, I spent time down there on the Gulf Coast, and mm-hmm. and it's totally different than, say, the Hollywood, Miami area.
Yep. Tampa, that Gulf Coast area has gotten so congested, though. Oh, gosh.
Well, it has. I mean, it was one of the last refuges down there, mm-hmm. and now it's just so high. I mean, it's like anywhere else. We had some beaches like that here in my state that mm-hmm. they weren't heavily populated. It wasn't the big commercial thing. You could get away, you know, a family of four, young family starting out, could go down there for we can afford it and, mm-hmm. and have a thoroughly good time. Now it's just gotten so commercial and so expensive. It's getting hard to find somewhere that you can go and just kick back and relax and not have to deal with the crowd.
And you know, I'm definitely not trying to sound like a travel agent, but that's what I found about this part of the state. It's definitely, you know, built up from what I can tell, you know, certainly higher population density than before. But it's still the beaches. We don't get a ton of touristy traffic. We have this stretch of beaches that, you know, starting. I'm on the beach. Flies past you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and you go straight down A1A between, you know, where I'm at in St. Augustine, and I mean, those beaches are gorgeous, and they're public beaches. I mean, there's a few private beaches, but it's very, very sparsely populated. So it's much different than the rest of the state. I mean, once you start getting closer to, Daytona is when you really start picking up the touristy people. I don't know if Ben Kent's going to call in, but he could attest to that. And then certainly when you get into the Miami area, all bets are off.
Well, yeah, Hollywood was we went down there for the winter meetings back in the 80s, and I just kind of fell in love with the place, but it was just so expensive. I mean, yeah. it was like going to Switzerland. You know, if you're going to live there, the people, tons of people. But I have to admit, if you're going to the nightlife and to have a good time, you know, it was a good place to go. I'm glad they had the convention there because they're worthwhile.
Definitely.
But let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being from Florida, do you think DeSantis will get in, or you think he'll sit it out and run his full term as governor?
You know, I tend to think he's going to stay on as governor. I think, and this is just me trying to read the tea leaves and listen to some of the stuff he says. I think if Trump ends up not running, I think he will throw his hat into the ring. But one, I think he enjoys such popular support as the governor here. And two, if he goes at it, and I mean, Trump just won't keep his. I just don't get Trump at all anymore. I'm starting to think he's losing his mind. It's just some of the stuff coming out of his mouth anymore.
I think he's scared. I think he's scared of DeSantis.
I think he is scared of DeSantis, but I think DeSantis is also a shrewd enough politician to. I mean, the guy's younger than me. He's like, I think he's 44, 45 years old. You know, let him sit out the 2026 or 2024, and let Trump burn himself out. And you know, no, regardless of whether Trump runs and wins or Trump runs, that's it. He's not going to run for president at 85, 86 years old in 2028 if he doesn't win.
But I think DeSantis offers the strongest threat to him, and I think Trump sees it. And he's already started lashing out at him. I thought, you know, the name calling started mighty quick this time.
It started very quickly. And, the thing I don't get is I don't think any Republican wins the White House without the state of Florida. So to attack the governor who just won a practical landslide reelection when he just skated through on his first, you know, when he ran in, 2018, I mean, literally that was just by a few points, I think, if that.
Yeah.
I don't get the political calculation because to me he's hurting himself. He'd have been better off to just pretend DeSantis didn't exist. And then I heard Thomas Massey threw his support behind DeSantis. I find it funny all these people supporting DeSantis who hasn't actually declared his candidacy.
I know.
So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm wondering who can come along on the Republican side that can give Trump a run for his money when it comes to the convention. Because, you know, Trump, unless it's somebody formidable, DeSantis, I think, could do it. I don't know, but I don't see anybody else out there that could get into it that could really give Trump a run for his money. So
no,
I think
I agree.
Unless Trump in the foot, he's pretty much got it. And I think DeSantis is smart enough to stay back. What kills me is,
I think that's what
if he goes to ask DeSantis for a VP slot, he's already started talking junk right off the bat. Mm. So, you know, how do you justify asking somebody like him?
I don't think he would ask him because DeSantis is now, of course, DeSantis has already made comments about, without naming Trump, about him, he's basically said no, he wouldn't take a VP slot if Trump offered him
that. That would be a massive contradiction to what we know is observable, which is that there's no way that Trump wants a bold personality next to him.
Right.
His running mate, whoever is partnered with him, he doesn't want another, you know, you only get one bullhorn in the room.
Right. He wants another Mike Pence. He's just going to sit in the corner and
Trump's ego is too big to share the spotlight. So,
Given that
I'm wondering praying somebody can come along and maybe we won't have to deal with Trump, but I doubt that's going
to
happen.
Nah, I don't think so. Look, we're about to say 25 minutes deep into the show running. We still have Chris Graves waiting on the Skype, and we have a caller waiting. So do want to push things along a little bit because I want to get us to another break soon and make it open so that if anybody else wants to join us all the way up till about 10 after 10, we're going to run live Eastern. I want to give everybody a shot to get in, too. So let's kind of move along a little bit. I think it's an interesting thing with DeSantis in Florida and all that, and I want to get back to it with you a little more later, but I have a feeling some other people here are going to have something to say. Not Chris necessarily, but I have a feeling about the phone caller. He might have something to say about the whole Trump-DeSantis dynamic. So that'll reintroduce that later, but I think we should move along to Graves. Also, you're a little choppy, B. Pete. Your signal's a little weak with your microphone. I don't know why that is, but we're getting some interruptions here where Captain Trips even takes a breath and you're cut while you're speaking. So I don't know if that's happening from everybody's ear, but it's only you right now. So I don't know if maybe you can make a minor adjustment or get closer to your mic or something. anyway. So what do you think? Should we continue on or Trips? You want to close out what you were talking about here, and then we'll move over to Graves and then get on to our callers?
Oh, no, you can go ahead and move on. That was I pretty much said what I had to say there. I don't have much more to add and add from that perspective. So I yield my time.
All right. Apologies being the gym teacher blowing the whistle, you know, but what am I going to do?
No worries.
You know, it's just, it is one of those things. Anyways, so Graves, you're on the line. I know you've been waiting for a minute, and I'm taking everybody in order here. How you doing, man? You sent over a link to a song. I was hoping that you might come up with a timestamp or something so we could actually play a little piece of this on the show. Maybe I'll try and figure out a way to run it through during break, but it's very hard during a roundtable show because everybody would have to be quiet if I run it straight
through. About halfway mark, Chuck.
About halfway?
Yeah, you particularly, and Charlie Robinson, Sam Tripoli, and myself, I will say.
But,
I'm in there
stop. All right, spoiled it. Never mind. I was going to say, you know, you don't tell them that.
It's a secret. It's in the chat room.
No, I know, but I was going to say, but there's only like five people in the chat room. I was going to say, stop talking, and we'll tell them what it is that is coming up. But you didn't hear me. All right. Anyway, it's okay. No worries. There's a song that apparently mentions a couple of broadcasters, including myself and Chris. So I was going to play part of it on the show, and we'll do that in a little bit. But it's a little tough.
You should. It's at the halfway part.
Yeah,
it's only a 2-minute song. That's it. So it's about a minute.
Right, but the problem is I'd have to have everybody shut the hell up during the break.
All right.
So, and I can't get that during the show. How am I going to do that during a break?
Well, the only thing, I got you. No, the only thing that I was going to add right now, besides the spoiler, I guess, that I just, I'm kind of excited. I've never been actually in a hip-hop song before, so I thought that was kind of new and kind of neat. But also, our good buddy Aaron Franz got a big shout out on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli from Sophia Smallstorm, and she brought up the Age of Transitions. So
no
I
kidding.
To make that known too.
No kidding. Well, look, get me a see if you can find me that show because I don't really listen to Sam too much. But if you could,
well, you're it's on Twitter and you're connected to it.
You okay,
and, Aaron. Yeah.
Great. So, because I'd like to be able to download it and maybe, pull a sample off, put it during, you know, one of Franz's breaks there, because that's great.
Well, I'll give you the timestamp for that one. Yeah.
Great. No problem. I'm trying to download this file, by the way, as we're speaking, so maybe I'll be able to play it during a break. That'll be easier.
Yeah, it's like a 2-minute thing. But anyway, I'm all for Bobby Kennedy Jr., and I know that maybe Jimmy James won't be happy with me, but you know what? I still love Jimmy James. And that's all I wanted to contribute right now. I'll just mute right now.
Okay, cool. Well, now, I figured Jimmy James might have something to say about the whole DeSantis and Trump, and also I probably got under his skin right away mentioning the trials and whatnot, and he's probably going to have a few things to say, and there you go. Spoiled another surprise, did Chris Graves. You're good at that, man. Are you the kid that like, gives away, hi, is everybody coming to the surprise birthday party tomorrow in front of the birthday kid? Are you that kid?
I am tonight, apparently.
No, yeah. I'm just messing with you. But, I mean, seriously, there are some people that...
But Chuck has a special, special guest coming up, and it is Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman himself. So there you go.
I have tried to get him, actually. I the only way to get him is to pay his cameo price, it seems like. For me, anyway.
Well, maybe for your birthday. Oh, your next birthday next year. There you go.
There's a lot of cheaper people on Cameo. If you want to get me something cool for my birthday, believe me.
Well, Screech is dead, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah, not my guy, but that's okay. Anyhow, so Graves, no, good job today, by the way. You want to tell people what we broadcast today that will be out on podcast, should be tomorrow?
Well, earlier in the week, I had Mary Ellen Moore of Free Minded Films, and she is directly connected with the gentleman I had earlier tonight, also of Free Minded Films, Chris Emery. He is responsible for the loose change of Oklahoma City documentaries, because there's not too many of those, and it's a very, very, very informative and pretty shocking film. So Free Mind Films, you can watch it all for free at Free Mind Films. So support the filmmakers. They're trying to get the good word out. Thanks.
Right. And A Noble Lie. Look, here's a disclosure. I didn't know Chris was going to have these people on this week, but I got to tell you, I wanted to speak to the makers of A Noble Lie. They were on my original list for when I went live with this show. And I could not net them. There's a story behind that, but I could not get the guests.
Well, they were going through like InfoWars at the time, so they were Mr. Jones at the time. Good for them, but I mean that's the route they had to go at the time.
See, you kind of immediately you've already given away part of the backstory. That's part of the reason why I don't think I could get them.
It's okay. Up now.
It's okay. Chris wants to spoil stuff tonight, so that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fun. It makes you look psychic. It's beautiful. So, and besides, I'm in the mood to have a little fun, because what I have to do after I'm done with this show is not going to be fun. So before I get to a break, I think we should get to Jimmy James. B. Peter, do you think we should go to a break? And I mean, I don't want to keep making him wait. What do you think?
Bring him on. Let him, you know, he's cooled his jets long enough.
There you go. Okay, so with that, we bring on the legendary Jimmy James. If he hasn't fallen asleep, we could have put him to sleep because he's been on hold for some minutes here, longer than he should have been. Jimmy James, sorry about that, you know, but you're not on a bad list or anything. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine. I know I'm on the list. Truck's list.
Jimmy James claims that he's on my restricted list or something. I don't know what it's called, because no such list exists, but it's okay, man. How are you doing? What's on your mind? Would you like to add to the conversation tonight?
Well, that reminds me, I need to get you a copy of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Alec Baldwin, he's going to be recharged, so, no. He's not getting away with anything. Just having money doesn't mean you get away with everything.
Mm. Well, where are you hearing that he's getting recharged from?
Huh?
Where did you hear that he's...
FoxNews.com. I read the original article. It just said that the current prosecutor was quitting. And they said that their office intends to recharge. So basically, they just said she's too much of a small town, local yokel screw up. So they're just getting a hired gun is all.
Yeah, well, there's this one little weird sticking point, though, because after a little while, somebody could claim that their constitutional rights are being violated, because you do have the right to a speedy trial. I mean, what are your thoughts on that part of it?
Well, you have to be charged within, you're supposed to be charged within 90 days. He was charged, I think, quite a lot later than that. But, you know, it's like murder, manslaughter, pretty high crimes.
Well, right, and there's no statute of limitations on murder, but I do know that they have this problem where sometimes you can claim, look, you're dragging this out too long and I have a right to a speedy trial. I've seen that used in different courtrooms. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that, because I think it's somewhere in the Constitution. It does say something about a speedy trial.
Yeah.
Really? People that got arrested for January 6th, I mean, can they make that claim?
Well,
after a while.
They're excluded. They're excluded. They're Republicans. MAGA types.
I don't think so, but I'm just saying after. Baldwin. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't saying that they're excluded because of MAGA types.
MAGA types.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
MAGA problems, man. Got to keep them locked up.
Yeah, well, see, somewhere around 18 months or whatever, I know that they can start making those claims. But, you know, typically people do say, and by the way, this is partially a little bit of sarcasm from me about the speedy trial. Because as I've said over and over again, I've known people who have sat for two and a half years in the system and wind up with no charge and, you know, or, hey, we'll make you a deal. Time served with time they shouldn't have served already for nothing, just about, you know, minor personal issues, domestic violence, you know, destruction of some property that's not, you know, like somebody's whole house or anything, but like, you know, breaking a garage door and things like this.
The thing about the Constitution is it's your locality, your locale, your town is supposed to have, and they do have an awful lot to do with how your so-called justice system runs.
Of course they do.
But I wanted to stay on Alec Baldwin. I wanted to go to Trump and DeSantis since you brought it up.
Sure.
I don't know what you thought I was going to say about it. I don't give a crap. Either one of them would be better than Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So that's all you have to say about that?
He's kind of cooling on me, honestly.
Well, what's the matter? What is he doing wrong?
A, he has no charisma. Yeah. He skipped CPAC to attend a fundraiser with Brother Bush there, Jed. Brother Jed.
Yeah.
Also, he does not support the Ukraine. So, I do not support him at this time. I support Trump more. But another guy that's surprising me a lot lately, it's not like he's even in it or anything, but I think the Speaker McCarthy's really impressing me.
Ah, McCarthy's impressive to you. Okay. Well, fair enough. Well, I leave it there. So, BP. Go ahead. I thought you were done. My mistake. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just on that. And then since Chris Graves is on, Chris Graves, you there?
He should be. He's probably muted, but he should be there.
Yes, I was trying to find the clip of the Age of Transitions from Tinfoil Hat for Chuck. What's up, Jimmy James?
Don't worry about that. That's all right.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy James.
I'm going to conversation. For some reason, Chris, you asked me to talk about Larry Flint wanting to whack Hugh Hefner, and I foo-fooed it. Do you remember that?
Well, I wrote a screenplay years ago about a L.A. Times article where it came out that Larry Flint put out, supposedly, in the early to mid-80s, Larry Flint supposedly put out hits on Frank Sinatra, Bob Guccione, the head of Hustler magazine, and Mr. Hugh Hefner of Playboy, his editors. Yeah, what about it?
Well, at the time, I basically said it was all horseshit.
Okay.
My bad. Well, it's not total. It turns out there is indeed some grain of truth to it, because were there, since then and now, I either read or heard from someone reputable that what they did is they picked it up on an FBI tap. They heard Larry Flint asking,
"Yeah,
oh my God, I almost think it was that crazy guy that, not that radar clown, but that."
No, there was a famous Hollywood hitman.
Well, anyway, Gordon Novell, that guy?
Yeah.
How did you even remember that, Jimmy James? How did you remember me telling that story? Because that was like a year ago.
I remember everything since I was two and a half. That's your relative. Stay on top of your butt. Okay, so they did get him on FBI tap, wanting to whack Jack Nicholson and Hugh Hefner, saying that. I don't know. Whatever that means.
Wherever it went from there, yeah. And the thing is that Gordon Novell's an interesting character when it comes to tapping people and tape recordings and stuff like that. That is how he becomes really involved in the Garrison situation, is over tape recordings and who he's secretly taping left and right. Gordon Novell. Interesting character. I don't know how to categorize him, but some people say he worked for the CIA. I see no proof of that directly. But he definitely was like a freelance intelligence guy at one point. That,
well, Chuck, can I tell
say.
You this? Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember Jimmy James calling in and saying I was full of shit or anything, because I had all the files to back that stuff up. I literally wrote a screenplay.
I never heard nothing about it before, and it sounded crazy to me.
He was generally just saying it didn't sound good to him at the time, but apparently there's some grain of truth
to
it.
That's why I wrote the screenplay.
Well, hey, look, you can make a good movie out of a lot of things, and sure, that would make an interesting movie for sure.
Thank you, Chuck. Yeah.
Make
a movie out of the phone book. I got you. Yes.
No, I thoroughly believe that if you wanted to make even my life story, as boring as that is, into a movie, I think you could do a hell of a job.
I mentioned that on a podcast the other day, buddy. We're going to make it happen.
All right, cool. Anyways.
Chris Graves, another thing on that whole Larry Flint situation, you should talk to Ted Rubenstein, because he used to, like, work for them. Hustler publication, so people have a lot more scoop on it.
I didn't know he was still alive, to be honest, but I'll look into it. Thank you.
That guy used to contact me all the time. Sometimes he's a listener.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other story for a chapter in your book right there, or a side chapter in my book or something. I don't know, someone's book.
It could be. I actually have a whole thing about the secret listeners of the Ocelli Effect that have gone through the years.
Oh wow!
I could tell you some interesting. Well, I'll tell you one. I'll spoil one for you that I find almost unbelievable. But at one point, Kevin Spacey was listening to this show.
Oh yeah, for real?
For real? Yeah. While he was doing House of Cards and all that, yeah.
All right, that's I never would have guessed that one, to be honest with you.
Neither would have I, and I thought it was fake for a long time, but because he sent me a couple of emails, and it wasn't through an email address that was publicly known, but apparently, true. The only other Hollywood type listener that I know of, by the way, just Hollywood banner people like that, would be Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. Who I have, played cat and mouse with about getting on this show now for about
It's like me with Kevin Smith. Same deal.
Yeah. Well, 8 years. I mean, I've been trying to get him on, and he's said he's going to do it and then doesn't do it. So that's why I've never promoted it. But, closest I got to having Tommy Lee on was Oz Fox. So quite a far bit away, but, I was hoping for that. And I really would love it if Trent Reznor would come on, but he doesn't listen. Anyways, we'll leave that alone. And, B. Pete, where should we go from here? I'm feeling like it's about time to take a break and let some other people maybe join in, unless there's some unfinished business here or we need to go back around to Captain Trips. What do you think?
No, we can take up with Captain when we come back, but let's go ahead and get a break in.
There you have it. So let's pause for the cause, I guess, and maybe I'll tell you guys about some hats and things. I've gotten a few, I've gotten a few samples, but I'm not pleased yet. And neither will you be if I send you these things as gifts. Some of them, but some of them will go out. Anyway, we'll get into that and a few other things as the Friday Night Open Mic continues on the Ocelli Effect. Join us, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. We'll be back after.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right, well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now, has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com, enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
RevolutionTheKelly.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect begins now here on a Friar's Day, a Friday night, and we are live, unless you're hearing us via the podcast, in which case we're not, so you would need a time machine to join us, because it is, as I speak, about 9 minutes after 9 p.m. Eastern on April 21st, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And thusly, we have about another hour of the live call-in show. During the next break, I'm going to play a song that apparently gives a shout-out to myself, Mr. Graves, and maybe some others in the broadcasting universe of independence. Anyway, it is what it is, and here we are on a Friday. Thus far, in order, if I remember correctly, Captain Trips joined us, Chris Graves joined us, Jimmy James joined us, and now we have another caller on the line. Or maybe two. Let's see. One. Yes, we do have two more callers on the line that need to get in on the conversation, and you can do so as well at home or on the road or wherever you might be if you have access to a phone or Skype. Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send me a message. I can call you into the show, or you can reach us with a phone. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016, and you never know what we're going to talk about during the show. Could be a lot of things. 319-527-5016. You actually get to decide what it is we talk about, because I ask all the time, excuse me, what's on your mind? Sorry, I did whoof down some food during the little pauses here and there, so might have a hiccup or a belch now and then. Not going to do the Howard Stern thing and belch on Mike if I can avoid it. And with any luck at all, I will not have to vomit before the show's over. So, there it is. Pete, shall we go back to one of the existing callers, get on to a new caller? What do you think?
Let's go ahead. We're bringing in the new callers.
All righty. Let's see. I will begin with the caller that has a 765 area code. So sorry if I'm giving away your position or whatever. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
No worries there, Chuck. It's number 6 from the New Prisoners podcast, and I'm happy to be back on another Friday night call-in show with you guys. I was enjoying the conversation about Kevin Spacey. I will say I once knew a man from Nantucket, and it was not Kevin Spacey, but there is definitely some things that have stuck to Kevin Spacey over the years, maybe not legal-wise, though.
Yeah,
but,
well.
How's everybody doing?
See, I don't want to imagine things being sticky with Kevin Spacey. It goes into strange places, and it's just not my bag.
Oh, man, that was just not the visual we needed, Mr. Ocelli.
Hey, the visual's your fault. I left that open to interpretation, so that's on you, my friend. Anyway, six.
One of those things you can't unsee, man. You can't unsee it.
And that's on you. Dun, dun.
All right, fine.
Anyways.
I got something to throw into the mix.
Uh-oh. Wait, well, you cut off six. Maybe six has something else he wants to throw in.
Sorry. My fault. Captain, I'm going to shut up now.
Captain Trips, put a pin in it, okay? And six, anything else you want to toss there before we let Captain Trips step in and throw something into the mix? Six? Paging. Prisoner six. Paging. Oh, wow. Am I still connected, BP?
Yeah, you're still. I hear you.
Okay. No, just for a second there, everything went dead silent. That's a rarity on a Friday. All right, six, we'll put you aside, and I interrupted Captain Trips stepping on you for no reason. Captain Trips, throw it on the table. Go ahead, and then we'll get to the next caller.
No. You're fine. I just wondered, and I haven't looked too far into this story yet, this Biden Department of Justice indicted four Americans for, quote, weaponized free speech, but these were four people that were members of the African People's Socialist Party for apparently conspiring to act as agents for Russia by using speech and political action in ways the DOJ says weaponized.
Yeah,
kind of ominous.
Yeah, see, now there's a strange thing that strikes me there. Where in the law or in the legal structure does it say that weaponizing speech is a crime? I don't recall
good
it.
Good question.
So.
Good question.
And weaponizing speech, dare say, there are many people in official positions that could be accused of same.
Yeah. In fact, I would think they are the they have been the prime culprits in weaponizing speech. I mean, at least over the last few years. But I think looking back, it's been far longer than that. I think it's just been most obvious recently. Yeah, I don't particularly like this. Not that I've liked anything that's happened recently, but you know.
Well, you know, we're Good, go ahead, Jimmy James. I know you don't like that, even though they're going after commies. You're saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, this is a problem." Weaponized speech. How do you define that? Right? I mean, it's, I don't see it in the Constitution. Do you, Jimmy James?
I see the opposite. I see that there is no such thing. And the first, I mean, you look all through the Bill of Rights, First, Second, Fourth Amendment, the right of the people, the right of the people, the right of the people. I don't see nothing about, except when we don't like it, then it's weaponized.
Yeah. Well, I'm allowing somebody else to make that point. I think that's a good one. But, yeah, what do you think about this, BP? Any thoughts on this?
My speech, but we've been putting up with that now for years. You know, you get it from one side of the aisle to the other, but it here recently, it seems like we're having to deal with more weaponized speech from everyday entities that have the ability to screw up our lives through regulation and tools and policy. And it's getting to be, I don't know, are we going to have a revolt over the, you know, the First Amendment and the freedom of speech? You don't hear of many people defending that here lately.
Yeah, that's yet again another problem. Are we going to have a revolt? Well, that becomes an even more complex issue. But here's the thing I want to make clear before I ask Chris Graves what he thinks about weaponized speech. You know, I don't think you're going to care whether it's the left boot or the right boot that's on the back of your neck. If it's stepping on the back of your neck, trying to keep your face down and quiet because you can't talk too well with a mouth full of mud, I think nobody's going to care what the political party was that did it. And I always say, I feel like both sides, well, there's really only one side when it comes to stuff like this. So it's us and them, and there is a them, and unfortunately them is not us still, even though they're supposed to be. But I'm curious, Chris, you got any thoughts on this? Okay, so...
Yeah, weaponized speech.
Yes.
Well, when I was doing a Digging Chris Graves episode, shameless plug here, that's what caused me to be shadow banned for about a month or so on social media, mostly Twitter. And actually, I got flagged on YouTube finally too, and I have a private YouTube account. So, go figure. I think what happened was it was a Digging Chris Graves episode that we dove into Operation Northwoods, me and Jason Barker of Knights of the Storm, and what we did was we went through most of the documents that are publicly available. A lot of it was, you know, redacted and stuff. But just pointing out public documents that are in the public domain, I thought that was free speech, you know, to be able to point things out. And I guess in terms of the weaponization part, I got shadow banned and pretty much locked in Twitter jail for, you know, maybe a good month and a half.
Yeah, but did they use the word weaponized anywhere? Did they give you a phrase like that, or did they just say, what was it that you were doing according to them? What was your infraction?
They gave me nothing, but no one could see my tweets anymore.
So they didn't say you violated, you didn't violate terms of service or?
Nope, not at all. No copyright material in the show, Nothing, no music playing, no cease and desist or anything like that. And I think it was algorithms that were programmed to go after, you know, material like that, you know, just dissent. But that's just me.
Oh, well, hey, look, I can't argue with you because I'm still confused as to how do you cyberbully a dead man. I keep asking that question and nobody has an answer for me. So, you know, because I was supposedly cyberbullying Jeffrey Epstein, and I'd like that explanation. Also, my interview with, what's that journalist everybody loves, Webb there, Whitney Webb, that was also taken down. And
you had her on too?
Huh?
You had her on too before she was a superstar?
Well, no, I don't know when she became a superstar exactly. No, but
you know, I mean now.
Yeah, of course.
I've been trying to get her on.
Yeah, very hard to get her on nowadays, unless you're a bigger name podcaster. So, but anyways, either that or you had
they
to be really.
What are you guys talking about? They got a yanked. I could just imagine.
Oh, no, it went along with the Jeffrey Epstein thing. That's why it comes to mind, because she was writing about that. Right. Yeah. But they didn't accuse me of cyberbullying there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What is the difference with the accusation is? We have at least one more caller on the line. I know that we could have more. 319-527-5016. I have the capacity to hold like 100 callers if you guys wanted to all call in. But I know you won't. So, anyway, plenty of lines open. They are available, and I'm the only one who handles the switchboard, just so you know.
Well, I just told a bunch of people about it and about the possible playing of the song coming up, too. So hopefully we'll get more people in.
Oh, great. I know Six called in, but he didn't answer me when I came back around to him. So I don't know where he went. He doesn't appear.
Well, he's being a little bitch, maybe. You know, who knows?
No, he's still there. Yeah, why are you calling the guy a bitch? What is it with you?
He's still there. He's still there.
Wow. All right. Chris just went hostile on Six for no reason. Like, he's being a little bitch. You all right? You okay, man?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You want to call me some names now?
Yeah, jerky. No.
That's right, Sizzle Chest. All right, anyways.
Sizzle Neck, Sizzle Chest.
They call me Rubberneck. All right.
Frank Rizzo, open your friggin' ears.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, I love the Jerky Boys. That was some funny stuff. Anyways, before we descend into complete just, you know, repeating things and whatnot, B-Pete, should we go to another caller? What should we do here?
Let's bring them on.
Okay, so we've got a couple more on the line. All right. Well, we'll play that song shortly. I think we'll just take a break to play the song real fast at some point here, because got a feeling I could probably, because I was able to download it, Chris, just so you know, so I can just play it regular. I can kill everybody's mic and we can all listen to the song from Erroneous Method. I was able to accomplish that while we were on air. But let's get to one of the other callers in order as they came.
All right.
And let's see. I believe I have to ask this caller if he is indeed Vance-tastic. Are you, sir?
I'm Vance-tastic.
Wonderful. Glad to have you along. Is there anything you want to throw on the table regarding the conversation, or are you just here to join the party?
I don't know. Y'all been bouncing around like a ping pong ball about 8 different topics already. So.
Trying, man, trying, yeah.
Y'all were talking about something about the, you know, offensive speech or, you know, weaponized speech and all that, which, you know, remind me of the way I look at it. It's like you have the right to be offended, but there is no, you know, guarantee that you're never going to be offended. And so, you know, you pretty much decide what you want to be offended by. And so that's the power you have over offensive speech and anything like that. But, yeah, it shouldn't be. So you know something's wrong when they can, you know, make a crime out of something that's not a crime. So that's been going on. Right. All over the place.
Right. And just for the on-air record, because I know you can hear me, the guy calling from what looks like a pizza place in Jersey, hold on. I definitely want to get to you, okay? Don't hang up. But we do have other callers, so you want to talk a little more about weaponized speech, Vanarchy? Because this is Vanarchy himself, by the way, who I'm hoping to re-recruit as another co-host soon. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see where his time is up for use in that vein. So anyways, What do you think, man? You got more you want to add, or shall I move on? Vance.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, all of us on this call, I'm sure, you know all that stuff is, part of the propaganda, you know, the cultural control aspect of doing all that to push their agendas and all that. So I don't really, you know, pay much attention to it, but I saw Russell Brand had a new episode came out where John Stewart was debating some DOD spokesperson and, you know, brought up all about the failed audits and all that kind of stuff, and that was real interesting to watch. And, you know, those you know, some of the things, you know, the corruption is just everywhere, and one of these days we gotta, you know, figure out how to, make a legitimate, you know, attempt at stopping. It's like the guy that's in prison for the leaks on whatever, you know, chat room thing, and he's 10 years for each sentence, and there's like 300, you know, things, and he could potentially serve up to 3,000 years in prison, and nobody's ever, you know, prosecuted, and there's no looking into tens of billions and billions of dollars that, you know, can't be accounted for, but that's not a crime. But we need to expose this guy, what he did, and then the news is putting all the stuff that's supposedly the stuff that he's in trouble for. They're telling everybody everything that, you know, anybody like us already knew, that, you know, we're not in it to win it in Ukraine, you know. So I'll stop there.
Yeah, fair enough. And I do have other callers and stuff. I hear all your points. Yeah, we're all well aware about this, but it's very interesting that we're now going to see one side or the other trying to clamp down on each other's speech. And at the end of the day, the only loser here is going to be what? You and me, those of us not in the privileged position or with the cash to buy the legal resources required, because, well, that's just the name of the game here in what used to be America. So let's move on to another caller. I'm going to take the initiative here and also going to bring in another one via Skype momentarily. But B. Pete, we're moving right along fast and furious here. So now I've got another caller, and I think I recognize the number, but I'm not going to announce who she is. I'm going to let her do that. How you doing tonight?
Listen, I just, you know, it's a Friday night, and I got reminded about, you know, the usual hangout, and so I just wanted to join the party, so here I am.
Fair enough. Lisa from the New Prisoners, contributor over there, the legal mind, so to speak, I guess, of the group, who often does that thing with Chris Graves and Six, who has gone silent. And I don't think it's because Chris Graves called him a bitch a little while ago, but he did. I don't know what that was all about, but I guess we'll figure it out.
He should be on the line, Chuck.
I know. I'm messing with him because he's muted, and I didn't mute him.
And because he's a bitch, right?
You said that. I didn't. You know, be careful, man. You might send John Henry to deal with you. I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
And I apologize profusely for the audience listening here tonight and to Mr. Six and for everything he has done for me. Thank you very much, and thank you.
I'm just trying to have jokes here. Lisa, how you doing? You got anything you want to throw on the table or show you just hang out with us and we'll move on to something else? Because I do have something interesting here, apparently a track from Erroneous Method. That Chris pointed me to, and I was able to download. I didn't know about it until showtime. But anyways, anything you want to throw on the table before we do that?
No, I just want to say how awesome it is to, you know, Friday morning to be able to talk with Six and Chris, because they are the best. I mean, really. I mean, can you, a Friday morning that I get to hang out and talk with those guys, two of the smartest people, you know. So
did that yesterday too, on Thursday, right, with Mr. Ocelli, I think at one point.
Yeah,
right?
I was there briefly. I thought you guys did that.
My God! And I'll tell you what, I love when Chuck calls in, because, man, I'm telling you, when you put us all together, I mean, that's some really deep stuff that we talk about.
It was crazy. Angry Tiger was on there. That's come out, right? That's out on the feed on the New Prisoners, Chris, yeah, over on Rumble and all that.
The big 420 special. Yeah, that's all out and ready to go everywhere.
There you go. I sadly had to drop out really quickly because there was gunshots outside of my house. But anyway, that was the whole thing.
Maybe related to the broadcast, right?
Nothing related to the broadcast, and apparently I was not the target. But anyway, it's just, you know.
I'm going to say, did you get swatted? Who do you think you are, Tim Cass or whatever?
Yeah, don't even say that. I'm waiting on that kind of thing is going to happen to me one of these days, I'm sure. So,
no.
It's gonna happen.
No.
I just hope they shoot me in the leg. You know, they shoot me in the left.
There you go.
Shoot me in the left leg so it matches the right. All right, I'm still carrying a little bit of lead there. So you hit me in the left leg. That's all. Bounce it out. All right. So with all that in mind, I do have a Skype caller that I'm adding. B. Pete, I know I'm moving around pretty quick and not even consulting you, but I've got different people coming in, and I figured you would approve if I brought them on. So here we go, brand new Skype caller, and give you a moment to introduce yourself and take credit for, well, unfortunately only one broadcast this week because I was too sick to do the one on Wednesday, but take credit for your producing acumen, my friend. You did get me together with David Knight on Monday. So we did that show, and that was an interesting hour. Yes,
very good. Yeah, that was a really good hour. By the way, hello everybody. And before I get started on anything, Lisa, I have a question for you. Were you the caller from South America that called in while we had Ryan Woods a while ago, Lady MAGA?
No, I don't believe she called in from South America.
I don't think. No.
You sounded like a previous call-in. So I was just going to ask.
Yeah, so, I did call in one other night, though. I did when Six was on, and I think Chris was there, too. But I can't remember which night that was.
That was more recently, but I did Nature Boy, I know the one you're talking about. That was before Lisa and I actually even met. So, yeah, that's going back with the Bob Wilson days, I think, like almost a year ago.
Yeah, I think it was a year ago, probably a little bit over a year ago. Mm-hmm. But, Lisa, welcome to the group. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. And so now that I know the name, I know that I just followed you on Twitter. So thank you for the follow.
Yes, Nature Boy, incredibly producing the Wild Card Wednesdays once again, although this week it kind of was on a Monday instead of a Wednesday. There was supposed to be a show on a Wednesday, but I was ill, so we did not do it. And to answer the question that is on probably somebody else's mind on the call, no, Lisa is not single. Okay, so we'll leave it at that.
Oh, damn.
There we go.
Hey, she's mine, brother. If you ever come on the market, I got you first, darling, and that's all I got to say.
Okay, so I'm going to just not comment. And
come on, you threw me a softball. What would you expect me to do?
Yeah, I'm doing
this. I'm so flattered.
I'm just going to leave it there. Anyway, can you imagine, by the way, me and Lisa arguing just for a minute? I'm telling you. Anyways, hasn't happened yet. Always kind and nice to me. She is so.
A Massachusetts resident and a New Jersey resident just fighting it out, huh?
Yeah, with the accents and all, and both of us with the ability to be loud. I mean, definitely neighbors would probably be calling cops because neighbors are stupid and call cops. I don't, but they do. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. B. Pete, I'm thinking that with this large group of people on there, and maybe I got a couple other callers, possibly, I'm thinking about taking a little break here and just only for 2.5 minutes in order to play a song, which apparently has some mentions of some independent broadcasters in it. And it's I think it's a brand new independent cut from a musician.
Today. Yeah, drop today.
Drop today. What do you think, B. Pete? Do you want to take a listen to it all together?
Sure, let her rip.
All right, so let's do that. And, folks, this is from the artist known as Erroneous Method. I actually don't have the song title in front of me, but I was able to download the track. So
it's called Method Heads, and he refers to the fact that he owes you some beats, too. So I think you're going to get a kick out of it.
Well, there was a private thing. I was asking him if he could send me a couple of beats, and he had some personal stuff going on.
It's in the song, dude.
Okay.
I started laughing when I heard it.
I haven't heard it yet. Okay, cool. So without any further ado, BP, are you cool with me playing this?
Sure enough. Let's give it a listen.
All right. So Erroneous Method, the title Method Heads, here on Ocelli.com Radio. We'll be right back.
Let them know. Got to let them know. I'm bringing all shock like I'm King Rock, sipping Bud Light at the drag show. I'm bringing all shock like I'm King Rock, sipping Bud Light at the drag show. Erroneous Method, the world's worst professional provocateur. Hit them like it's 2000-something and Beck is back on tour. He never really wanted me anyway. Alcohol turns me into your enemy. I'm Yosemite Sam with some Hennessy. I used to think that bottle was the remedy. Picked it up once or twice after I let it go, but finally had to let it be. I used to roll with a fat bitch. She would give me a left tip for some literacy. I mean literally, not figuratively. I mean literally. We all want chances, we take separate stances, but learn to let it go. We learn to let it go. Oh, we take control.
Just a
it's okay if they have flaws. I wouldn't have stayed sober without Sam Tripoli Zero. I'm talking to Chris Graves on the pod. A month later, he's talking to Charlie Robinson on the pod. The people he influenced me. Word to Chuck Ocelli. Sorry, I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna give you those beats. But we the people's influence, like drops of water in the sea. And it's sad and so plain to see that blatantly, the powers that be, they've taken corruption to an incompatibility with reality. I got no problem with conspiracy becoming an industry. As long as we stay hard on fact, spread no fallacy, go forth with no malice. Casually ghost produced for years, stacking up that wise wolf gold ain't your average G. I'm a bastard with no mask, but the method had one long before the Rona, so don't get mad at me.
Revelation through conversation.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com Radio Network.
So there you go, Erroneous Method, and I also stuck in a station ID right after that. And not what I expected on the track, but there you go, a couple of mentions, a couple of interesting things there. So I don't know, what are your thoughts? I'll go to BP first, the resident music guy, really, outside of myself here on the network.
I'll give it a 7. It's got a good beat, but it's kind of hard to dance to.
Okay, fair enough. Depending on how you dance, I guess. Anyways, Jimmy James, what's your thoughts, man?
Well, it sounded. Problem is, I heard it through my phone, so I don't think I heard exactly high fidelity.
No problem. You know what I'll do? I'll send you a copy via email when we're all done here, if I remember to do so. All right. So there you go.
Definitely like the shout outs to Mr. Chuck. So there you go.
There you
go. The bat, I'll give it a 7.5 right there.
There you go. Without fully hearing it, because the phone did hinder it. Okay, gotcha. Let's see, B. Pete, who should we go to next? I mean, Chris already said a few things about it. I think he would be next in order, but who should we go to next?
Oh, I don't know. We haven't heard from Captain in a bit. Wait, somebody stick a pin in him or something?
Oh, I put a pin in him before, yeah, but I let it go.
I'm still here.
I'm still here. Y'all can't get rid of me that easily. I disappear for a while, and then I come back when I have some time.
There you go. And Ocelli didn't lay the real voodoo on him anyway, so, you know, I could have pulled out those pins, but I didn't, because he's my friend. Anyway, go ahead, Trips.
Hey, any song that calls out, that gives mention to my boy Chuck, I like.
There you go. So, Erroneous Method getting a thumbs up so far. Vance, what was your thoughts, man? Okay.
Hello, Vance.
I guess that speaks for itself.
Oh, God. That was horrible.
All righty, then. Well, what am I supposed to do, man? I got to keep it entertaining. I get dead air. I got to work with it, right? I'm going to double check that in a second. Lisa, you got any thoughts?
I enjoyed it. You know, well, of course, you know, I love the shout-outs there, so, you know, that definitely brings it up on the ranking. I need you to send me the track, though, because a little, you know, some of the lyrics I missed, but I really loved, I liked the beat. And, you know, that raspy voice, I like that.
Cool. Well, you know, because of the phone, it's a little bit of a hindrance, but Chris, send everybody the link, right? And make sure everybody gets the link, and that way they could download it for themselves. It looks like you can access it pretty easily with I have a SoundCloud account, allegedly, but I did cancel it years ago, so I don't know what's going on there. If you sign up for SoundCloud, though, it does allow you to download this track. Now, different artists get to control whether you can download it or not.
I'll send it to the chat here on Skype, but yeah, I can send it to like Lisa through Twitter and everything too. So.
Yeah, well, Lisa, Jimmy James, Six, Vance, they're not on Skype, so just saying, you know, go ahead and if you drop it in the email to me, I'll forward it to whoever, and you could obviously get it to Lisa. So,
okay,
all right.
I mean, how can you not like something that's, I mean, very bluesy? You know, it's like.
It's country.
I love the blues, so.
It's got a country hip-hop stoner kind of blend to it. So it's interesting just from that vantage point, you know, where it's got
to. I give it a 37, Chuck.
There you go.
37. Solid 37. He did a great job.
You sound like Uncle doing his dollar beer reviews right there. So a 37. All righty.
37 in a row?
In a row? Yeah, I know. Anyway, Clerks sub reference. All right. B-Pete, where shall we go from here? Apparently, we had a couple of callers drop off. Sorry. I did let the whole song play through, but I thought you guys would enjoy that. And I don't know if that's any kind of vote or maybe they were just busy where they were at. We've got about another almost 30 minutes, maybe 28 minutes left on the show. So we're going to ride it through. B-Pete, any thoughts where you want to go next? You want to pass around a question or you want to go through it in the meantime while we await other callers or whatever? Oh, crap. I did not ask Nature Boy what he thought. Hold on, B-Pete. Now I put a pin in you. Hold on a sec, and let me ask Nature Boy what his thoughts are on this.
Well, sounds like you got yourself some good love, and that's always a good thing, man. Plus, I'm with Lisa. I'm a blues fan, so I really dug having that slide guitar added into it. So it was all right, man. It's all right. Mm.
No, and always with the blues, you gotta, you know, if you mix a little bit of stoner kind of stuff in with the blues, it's sort of a natural thing. That's what I used to like about Monster Magnet, actually. Jersey-based band, of course. I saw them at their inception and all that many years ago in the probably must have been like 1990 or something like that when they first got together. But I liked that part of it where they had the stoner and blues groove at the same time and sort of picked up a little bit of a Black Sabbath feel to them as well. So, I like those guys. I liked them when they were in a band called Daisy Cutter, a couple of those guys, too. Interesting group, for sure. But anyways, no, I like that sort of blended stuff anyway, you know, crossover things. And you can hear, see, you notice how the blues element stands out to you. Somebody else goes, oh, well, that's very hip-hoppy. I don't hear a lot of hip-hop in there. But clearly there's, you know, that style of vocal going on. But it doesn't mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it is hip hop, probably mixed with a little bit of scat and spoken word. It seemed to edge towards a little bit more of the spoken word as opposed to the hip hop. But you made a point, having been involved with the blues community for decades, right? Mm. Stoners and blues people, bread and butter. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
No, they can hang together. It does work. And you usually don't have, you know, and working security for venues, here's I got to tell you.
Anecdote. Sorry. I hear it concerning an old blues guy.
What'd you say, Jimmy James? You have an anecdote referring to an old blues guy?
Yeah, it's an unrelated anecdote. Anyways.
Cool, throw it in.
There was the first 5 seasons of Saturday Night Live, there was a black guy. I believe his name was Garrett.
Garrett that Morris? Guy, Garrett Morris, you mean?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Garrett Morris. I got to talk to him once. He was the first Ant-Man ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy James.
Oh, get him. He'll do your show, Chris. Hey, anyways, so back in the day, back in the 70s, one of them old-time jazz guys, you know, or blues, pulled out, was like, handed in, hey, this gave him a doobie, and Garrett's like, man, this ain't nothing. And he goes, here, try some of mine. Mm-hmm. And he walked away, and Garrett says the next day they were on the elevator with all these white people in the middle of the 1970s, you know, and the old blues guy says, I enjoyed your flowers. I'll take a pound.
Mm. Cool. That is it. You know, Garrett Morris.
Their old blue guys, the weed they smoked was like nothing compared to like even what the hippies were smoking. So he said next to that little encounter, he ended up having to hook up that old blues guy for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, that kind of thing happens. Garrett Morris is an interesting guy. I'd love to speak to him, too. I'd love to have him on the show. I'd love to find out the truth about how illiterate he actually was, because there's a whole story about him not being able to read and still being, you know, a brilliant actor and all that stuff, but he had to have somebody read stuff to him because he couldn't read very well or at all, allegedly. And that's what held him back in Hollywood. That's why he's one of the few, like, original cast members that didn't create a whole other career out of being part of the Saturday Night Live on-camera crew, right, from the originals. But I'd love to talk to the guy and, you know, just see what that was like, see what he's got to say about how things have gone since then and what he thinks of, you know, all of his peers having moved on to really massive careers pretty much with the exception of himself. So I would love to hear about that.
Well, he's not thrilled with that part, in short.
Oh, I know, but, you know, he might want to take an opportunity to just, you know, vent with me there. That might be an interesting discussion in and of itself, right?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, me too. So, anybody got any hints at how to get a hold of Garrett Morris, let us know, because I don't know. But I'd love to talk to
John guy. Barber. John Barber would know. They're about the same age, ran in the same circles.
Hmm.
Barber almost
already tried. John doesn't know.
Yeah, no. Chris is saying he already asked John Barber about that guy and couldn't get through. I tried to get John Barber to hook me up with Gallagher, by the way, and
Jimmy Walker. I was trying to get him to put in a good word with Jimmy Walker, because Jimmy Walker was who gave David Letterman and Jay Leno their start as stand-up comedians.
Jimmy Walker's another guy I'd love to talk to just because I used to watch him on TV, but ever since he got those Medicare commercials, I don't know, you know, he seems
no,
to be...
No, before that, he was actually really cool.
No,
those
commercials
were ridiculous, yes.
I'm not saying he's not cool now. Whoa, hold on. I'm not saying he's not cool now, Chris. I'm saying that just ever since he got that, I don't think he's as accessible for some reason, but
those commercials annoyed the hell out of me. That's what I was saying.
It's kind of sad to me because dynamite when you sign up for Medicare D. Okay, Jimmy, chill. You know,
but like Nature Boy saying, I mean, it's a paycheck. You know what I mean? I'm not faulting the guy. I just hear it over and over again in the background, I'm like, oh. Okay.
No, I don't mind. But again, I don't begrudge him. It just kind of made me cringe a little when he does the dynamite line. You know, they're like, oh,
dynamite. Yeah.
I used to see him on like the digital channel 10.4.
Oh no, and, absolutely!
You know, one of those things, along with the Shriners thing with.
Hi, I'm Alvin. I broke all my phones 23 times each, but I'm happy.
Oh my god! And that the other one that used to get me, I could handle that, right? But the one that got me were the Siberian Jewish older people, man. Holy crikey. If you've never seen that commercial, man, it just hits you hard.
You're talking about the Ukrainian Holocaust survivors. The Ukrainian Holocaust survivors, right? That's what you're talking about?
I don't smoke anymore.
All I hear is we're talking about Siberian Jews.
Yes.
I missed something.
If you've never seen the commercials, this is like on when you get the digital television, right, the aerial, and you get like instead of the old days where you got like 3, 6, and 10, now you know it's like 3.1, 3.2, and the farther you go down the chain, the worse the ads get, right? So there's this – it's 10.4 here, and it's just old reruns. Same. And no, actually, it's things like old ICE truckers or whatever, right? But they had these commercials that were just, they're a grift. And all of them were donate, donate, donate. And being a producer, I'm looking at it, and I just right off the bat, I'm like, oh, this is a formulaic. Just change the person, change the scenario, but beg for money. And there's one for, and if you can find it, Jewish elderly people in Siberia. And they show like this bloody hut, right? And they go into this little creaky door. You can see through the boards in it. And here's this elderly lady just wrapped up in whatever fabric she can, cooking on this little makeshift stove. And they're like, these Siberian Jews are in dire needs.
I'm almost certain. Yeah, I'm almost certain that's Ukrainian Holocaust survivors, actually, which is.
Oh, yeah. My. No, this was Siberia.
No, I'm telling you, dude. Really? I swear to you. Because I got the same cringe off of this, and they do the same thing on it's either MeTV or Comet here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, again, what you can get free from the digital airwaves. Yeah, and they do rerun stuff like cast-off shows from other networks. Yeah.
Does Sally Struthers try to get money for them?
No, she's
starving.
No. She is. We don't get her anymore.
The one that always used to get me was the dog and cat one, where Sarah McLachlan was singing that song.
Oh, yeah.
Arms of an Angel. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man.
That one I got to watch.
Yeah, and then they got to show you the dog that's limping and bleeding, and you know another one that's freezing, and yeah, and then they show you the cats that are like, you know, and this cat lost its eye, and you know, here's a puppy mill, and then here's fighting dogs that we found chained up in a box, and yeah. It's
It's pure propaganda, and the thing about propaganda is it gives a little bit of truth with a lot of emotion. And you look at those, break them down, they're a little bit of truth, and they're just a lot of emotion. Mm-hmm. And what always is the capper on all those things is donate today.
Yeah, it's
your
like
help can save these wounded animals.
You know, for a dollar a day, you know, you'll give
for a dollar
life.
A day.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And the worst part of it is, in the middle of all that, you'll get Peter Popoff trying to give you his magic bag of water.
He's still around, bro?
He's still around,
He's still around. I saw Jim Jones is now hogging of, like, survival food and stuff, dude. That's his new grift, and boy, it's good, man.
Jim Jones?
No, not Jim Jones.
Jim Jones?
No, who is Tammy Faye?
Jim Baker. He's talking about Jim Baker.
I saw Jim Baker. I saw him peddling survival food as well.
I'm trying to get him on my show.
Hey, dude, he's got a good grift going on, man, because they got the, like, their house complex work thing. And when they got the little drone and fly it out, I'm like, that's a multi-million dollar complex, people. So, Jim Jones' new grift is.
Hey, speaking of
Jim Baker, not Jim Jones.
You keep saying Jim Jones, everybody's going to Jonestown and the massive murder. So, and that was a murder, not a suicide. But anyway.
Yeah, he didn't need to. Jim Jones wasn't peddling survival food. They didn't need it.
No.
Kool-Aid.
Flavor Aid.
It was Flavor Aid, if I'm not mistaken.
Purple Flavor Aid. Yeah. Anyway. With all those plugs aside, I do believe I heard a little while back before we got lost in the sauce of this grifting. Lisa, not that she was grifting, but Lisa said something about giving a plug. So what's up, Lisa? You want to drop a plug? There's a segue.
I wanted to say, because John Barber and people have to go and listen to Chris Graves' interview with John, and because it was awesome. Loved that interview.
Sorry, whose interview? You cut out there for a second. Whose interview with John Barber?
Chris.
Oh, Chris. Okay, no, it cut off there for a second. So you're talking about Graves interviewing Barber. Yeah.
I remember my interview with John Barber where he talks about Johnny Carson pissing it in the bowl during Howard Cosell's roast, I think, right? Right, Lisa?
No, it was that interview. Oh, my God, it was hysterical. What? I tell you what, true legend, and Chris just really hit it out of the park. Loved every second of it.
Well, thank you, Lisa, but that was all Mr. Barber, and he should be coming back on soon, and I believe he wants to do a bunch of stuff with Mr. O'Chilli, too, so...
Yeah, we're gonna see what we can do over there because he's got some plans and I'm more than happy to work with him on it, and love to see. I wanted to actually bring his show over to this network at one point, but he went with the guys he knows over there, cause.
I don't think they exist anymore.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, he'll tell you quite often that I was one of the first people to actually be interested in interviewing him on the internet on any of these radio shows.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, it was me, Len Osanek, and I think Jeff Rentz were the first three people that really wanted to bring John out to the internet age, if you will, which is really odd to me because nowadays everybody's like, well, of course, John Barber, living legend. I'm like, yeah, I knew that a long time ago. you know,
you both have similar, similar paths, right?
Well, it's funny. One of these days I'm going to sit down and talk with him about, you know, how he was kind of a criminal as a kid. Because, yeah, him and I have sort of a similar parallel, you know. A parallel, except he came from Canada and was, you know, busted here as an illegal immigrant at one point. And there's a whole story about that. I love that story he tells, by the way, about being, you know, detained and then trying to escape. That's a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways,
and
yeah.
And Johnny Carson hated each other too.
Well, you know, Johnny apparently not making friends all the time, right?
Not a very nice man from all accounts. Yeah.
Fair enough. So, with who we have on the line, B. Pete, what should we do with the last 14 minutes or so of the show?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to take a second here. You guys were hitting pretty hard on some organizations here a few minutes ago. I'd just like to point out one. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews are the group that put out the old Lithuanian Jews in the little shack asking for donations. And, you know, I understand some of the individuals that were mentioned. Yeah, grift fits in there, but these guys have an 82% rating at Charity Navigator, which means 82% of their donations go towards what they're trying to do. So they're running this whole for over 40 years using 18% of their donations, which is pretty good
when
you consider they're doing international stuff. So, you know, I just wanted to point out to people that they're not, I wouldn't quite put the word grift on them, even though they do have cheesy commercials and it takes up 30 minutes of your time when you could be watching an old sitcom. But yes, they do make good use of their donations. So I'm going to give a shout out to them.
No, fair enough. They actually do a good piece of work. But what I'm saying is the commercial, the presentation is absolutely abominable. Not because, oh, I can't waste 30 seconds of my time. It's just the commercial is just a horrible thing to watch.
I'll take your lightning strikes when they hit, you know, because you earned them. So just pointing that out.
Yeah, no problem. But, you know, the thing is, the dogs, you know, look, I feel for the dogs, too. I think it's absolutely horrible what goes on with the dogs, and I think it's a worthy organization that puts out that Sarah McLachlan stuff, even. And any help trying to, you know, deal with the suffering of animals that didn't, you know... that people treat so very poorly. I think it's a worthy cause. There are plenty of worthy causes in there. But when it comes to Jim Baker, that's a grifter. I don't give a crap what anybody thinks. That's a grifter.
It started selling survival food in the 5-gallon bucket. So at least, you know, now you're getting something for your money instead of a promised timeshare at, what, God Inc. outside of Charlotte that never materialized with the golden toilets and everything else. So.
Well, before you got a water slide, you know, that you could go visit. I mean, you know.
We'll get on the
air. Wasn't the water slides Jerry Falwell?
I don't know. I know that they had an amusement park, for sure.
Had an amusement park, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. They had the amusement park, yes.
Yep. Oh, was those two? Okay.
Did they use her as the clown emblem or the logo?
No, they should have. They did a whole TV show. They did a whole TV show recently about, like, you know, her point of view on the whole thing and everything. Yeah. But, no, but Jim Baker's a grifter. I mean, yeah, he might be selling you something nowadays. I don't know the quality.
Jessica Hahn.
Yeah, well.
She did Playboy, man.
Ask her.
The thing about Jessica, right, she was But she wasn't Playboy material. I think the only reason that they threw her in there because it was the soir du jour. Yeah.
And her with Howard Stern
all
the time. Of course.
Yeah. No, there's two different, distinctively different Playboy spreads with Jessica Hahn. Yes, of course.
Hey, she stripped the preacher, made $1 million.
I'm trying to get her on my show, too.
Really, now.
Yes,
that would be an interesting call.
She married the guy who co-created Married with Children, Ron Levin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? She married up.
She had her history with Sam Kinison, too.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, a whole Wild Thing video, and then they were sleeping together, and she revealed on the Howard Stern show that, like, you know, Sam lost control of his bowels all over the hotel room while they were doing their thing and all that. Yeah, it was a whole.
Yeah, and she was prone to do things with boyfriends overnight that I won't say right now.
You get in that entertainment Hollywood world, and they are sexually, just in that aspect, there's some, not all of them, but there's a lot of them that are really, really depraved.
Yeah, well, you know, depraved or just a little bit more accessible, you know, whatever. So... Nah, look, and there's plenty of charitable organizations, BP. Don't think that I'm saying every charitable organization is any kind of grift. I'm just saying that when it comes to Jim Baker, though, I don't trust, I don't want to buy air from the guy.
No, my only point was this. We started out talking about the Lithuanian Jewish Holocaust survivors in the shack, and then from there we went to grift. So I just wanted to put that little wall of separation between the two.
No, fair enough. And look, it's a worthy cause to help human beings who are suffering anywhere. But it's just the presentation of the commercial is just, blech. It's just a horrific hit, you know.
When they got 18% to operate on, it's kind of hard to get someone like Sarah McLachlan to sing about the poor little Lithuanian Jews with, you know, their faces.
She sung about the dogs.
She was the dogs, right. But even that's like, but that is a specifically targeted, you know, Bernaysian move there, yeah.
Another thing that I saw is you could see that it's formulated. So it's as if these, you know, I could tell, and I can't be sure because I'm just one man in finally sunny California. But you could tell just by looking at it, okay, you had these three organizations that contracted with this one company. And this one company was kind of like a full in-house and put out the media, did the ad buys, did the production, and it was real formulated. So it was, you know, I'm not saying they're a grift. And 18%, I used to do a lot of nonprofit that, especially for an international organization, those are some good numbers. Really, they are. So I got to say hats off to them and take the grift label off of them and say that I stand corrected.
Look, but there's plenty of stuff out there, and it's all packaged together, by the way, where you go to one place and they sell you, okay, you're going to do basically charitable runs, and they sell you like five of them in one shot as part of the contract. That's what they do, as we well know from TNT Radio. That's what they were doing.
I do not know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
what?
Okay.
T-what? T-Rex?
Yeah, exactly.
Dinosaurs is that we're talking about now, Mr. Chuck?
Yeah, you know, the people that have me blacklisted in Australia, but that's okay. So moving on, it is what it is. B. Pete, anything that you want to take over with here for the last 6-7 minutes?
No, but I know you got to get out of here and cut it short and stay on time, so maybe we ought to start our final words and exit on out of here.
Fair enough. So where should we begin? Take them in order or what?
Yeah, we can definitely take them in order.
So that means we begin with Captain Trips for his parting words for this week.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure to join you all again. It's like when I have a Friday evening that I can actually call in. So, as always, it was a pleasure talking to you gentlemen and ladies. Lisa, I'm not familiar with you, but it was nice to make your acquaintance. Chuck, you and I gotta talk off air soon. Right. A couple things to discuss, but otherwise, I'm actually gonna jut out here. I'm gonna go check on a few things and try to close my eyes before the next fire starts here since I am on call all night. So, have a great weekend, everyone, and I hope to talk to you all again soon. Chuck, I'll reach out to you.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Captain Trips. As always, glad to have you along. So I think that means in order we go to Jimmy James next. And for the record, I think Six called back in after dropping from the line or whatever, and I've joined him back into the conversation. So we'll get to him after Jimmy James, I guess, right? Or it's either after – no, after Graves. That's the order it goes in. So we'll get to you after Graves in the order for the final word for this week. And that means Jimmy James is up, right, B. Pete?
Yes, he is next. Jimmy.
All right, everyone, have a good weekend. And remember, as the weather's getting nicer, you might be tempted to go into the woodlands and the forests. But just remember, trees will murder you. All right, goodbye.
Well, there you have it, folks. Trees will murder you. Can't come up with a better closer than that. Chris Graves, maybe you can.
Well, I saw it. He's not making that up. I saw it in a documentary called The Evil Dead from 1982. They did a lot with a young lady, you know, the trees. But anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to thank Nature Boy, actually, for the shout-out on the Union of the Unwanted the other day. I was actually referred to as a new kind of Jordan Maxwell, and Charlie Robinson referred to me as the human artificial intelligence. So I had a big smile when I heard that, and thanks for having me on.
There you go, Chris Graves. So I believe that takes us to number Six, who unfortunately was muted for a long time after he called back in because I didn't realize he had called back in. Six, are you able to connect? Perhaps not. Okay. Still, I have his line open. I have his line open. Graves called you a bitch earlier, and I was trying to give you a chance to respond. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to say. God. Okay. I guess that, B. Pete, help me out here. Does that take us to Vance next?
Is it Vance or Lisa? Vance.
I think it was Vance next. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Vanarchy, you got anything you want to close on?
Three, four.
Okay. This is all kinds of success. We'll leave it alone. Maybe Vance is shooting pool or getting a drink. So that's fine. I guess that brings us to Lisa then.
Wow, that's hard to follow up on, you know?
Tough act to follow, but I have faith you could pull it off. Good.
Well, I just want to let you know, what a great job that you guys do. I'm telling you right now, what I love this idea of chilling out on a Friday night with you guys. So I just want to say thanks so much. And what's that tagline that you have? Revelation.
Revelation through conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, that rocks it, man. So, just very thankful to be able to hang with you guys. So, thanks.
Excellent. Glad to have you along, Lisa. And again, the New Prisoners, you can find them on, let's see, I'm not sure if they're on Rockfin, but I do know they're on Rumble, and they're out there via various podcatchers, etc. I'm certain that you can find them if you look for them, TNP. Also, if you just follow Graves on Twitter, you'll hear about every single episode for sure, as well as all the episodes of Get Mad with Chris Graves, Digging Chris Graves, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I don't know. He's got like six podcasts going. But you can follow all that stuff at Graves. Let's see. What is it? Chris Graves. Let's see. CG. I don't know. What is your Twitter handle, Graves? Boy, I'm batting 1,000 tonight. Okay, anyway.
Graves is a bitch.
Okay, there we go.
It's that Graves is a bitch. That's funny. You should just, Chris, if you could find that just for joke's sake, you should tag that.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear from Six?
So my earbuds were connected, but they were kind of doing the job on me.
Nice. Okay.
Doing the job actually to the earbuds.
Out of order.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Tell everybody where they can find the New Prisoners, and then go ahead and throw in your final sentiment.
Yes. Everyone can find the New Prisoners. Yeah, you were correct, over at Rumble. Not yet on Rockfin. Still worried about that application process turned in two. No answer back. No love. But, we're also on Odyssey, BitChute. We've been adding mad subscribers on BitChute recently, so shout out to all those folks. We are also on Brighteon, a weird little website, but I like it. We're also on Spotify Video, too. You can watch our videos on Spotify now, which is cool. And then any type of podcatcher thing, so your Apple, Google, Amazon, and all of the above. But final thoughts. You guys talked about the weaponization of speech, something that I talk about on my show. As well, when it comes to weaponizing your passions. And one of the songs, I really want to give a huge shout out to Erroneous Method for the song. Definitely a great effort. I'm going to have to listen to it through my headphones and everything and get a real feel for it. And I'll give it a proper review, maybe on the next New Prisoners. And the thing that I wanted to part with is that I want everyone to check out a song by a metal band called Heaven Shall Burn. And it's called The Weapon They Fear. And it's about Victor Jara and a little bit about Nelson Mandela, too. But the story behind Victor Jara, who is an artist, and during the revolution in Spain, they tortured him and cut his hands off in a stadium. And he refused to bow to the establishment. So the Weapon They Fear is a perfect title for a song about a topic like that. They always fear us artists. They always fear us creative people, us creative and critical minds. So that's why we're brothers. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
There you have it. So the New Prisoners, and that is Prisoner Number Six. You can follow him on Twitter as well and keep up with things. But like I said, if you follow Graves, you can always find what's brand new out of there. And they do their thing live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, which is hard for me to show up sometimes, but I do anyway. So there you have it. And let's see, he's on hold now. And where does that leave us, B-Pete?
It leaves me with my battery getting low here all of a sudden.
Oh, better get your shout in out in then.
Principally, he's the last one on the list, isn't he?
I think so, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Well, I'd just like to say I enjoy coming on here on Friday night. And Lisa, it was great to hear your voice. I hope you call in all the time. Really think you got a good perspective. Everybody out there, support Ocelli. Go to Ocelli.com. For new listeners, Chris Graves has an amazing show. He's knocking it out of the park with some great guests. And if you're not familiar with him, yeah, he's like a cross between Dave McGowan and Jordan Maxwell. He sends me stuff all the time. And I look at it and I'm like, how did you know about this? And more importantly, how the hell did you find it? So he's really good. He's got a great show. We have the Wild Card Wednesdays. And anybody familiar with that, I like to throw Chuck a oddball here and there, but he always lands on his feet, so that's always fun, entertaining. We got a really good lineup coming up here. If you can, I know times are tough. It is with me. I think everybody on this call. Try to donate to Ocelli.com. Go to the any page, hit the donate button. Other than that, I wish everybody love, joy, and I'm going kayaking for the first time this year tomorrow. So at that, I bid the listeners and the group a good adieu.
There you have it. So B. Pete, I guess that leaves us with you, my friend.
All right, well, I'm going to get short and sweet. I appreciate everybody calling in tonight. Looking forward to next week. We'll get back to somewhat of a semi-rigid schedule on how we handle all this. It may cut down on the amount of topics, but we still expect the same number of people to call in. So take advantage of Skype and take advantage of the phones. Other than that, it's been a great week. Another one in the can. Chuck, thank you for the opportunity, and we'll see you next week.
There you have it, guys. So remember this, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, not only do I appreciate you because you were here for this, and I appreciate everybody who called in, joined in, etc., but remember this, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.